Good morning, everyone. How many of you have daughters, sisters, nieces? How many of you know young women? Imagine if that young woman in your life were to come up to you one day and to say to you, an angel visited me and told me that I was going to be pregnant with the Messiah of the world. And after your initial reaction, whatever that might be, she then goes on to say, but I already said yes. And this is Mary. And this is the context in which we find this story. Mary receiving what could only be kindly described as a challenge. As a task of a magnitude that I think that she might not even realize. What's the context? 6 months before, her relative Elizabeth was visited by an angel, Gabriel. And the angel told her, you're going to be pregnant. Are you going to give birth? Elizabeth, who has been barren for all these years, was shocked by this. But, and her husband, Zechariah, couldn't believe it himself. Fast forward, and 3 days before this event, Mary received a visit from Gabriel, the angel, who told her, practically the same thing. You're going to be pregnant and you're going to give birth. Which is why, you know, you want to stay away from Gabriels. You can never tell what they're going to tell you. Mary did the equivalent of Twitter. She received the news. And then she walked for 3 days. Yes, that's how long it took. All right, not just, you know, the 3 days walk was her equivalent of Twitter back then. Quickly went off instant messaging and went off to see Elizabeth. And as she walks through the door, the little baby in Elizabeth leapt for joy. And Elizabeth broke out, calling out a blessing upon Mary. God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? And this is why we call Mary the Blessed Mother of God. Well, we should. And I will talk about that a bit later. Who are your favorite people in the Bible? Let's shorten it. Who are your favorite two persons in the New Testament? Okay, I hear Jesus mentioned. That's a bit obvious, but yeah, fair enough. Besides Jesus, Peter, my two favorite people in the New Testament is Thomas. You can talk to me about that later. And the second one is Mary. I have a lot of affection for Mary because in many ways, Mary I have a great depth of affection for Mary. You know, in the church, especially among us Protestants, we are Protestants, we tend to ignore Mary. That's because the Catholics adore her so greatly and they venerate her so greatly. And so, you know, we then swing to the other side and we try and ignore her. And it's a mistake. It is a mistake to think of Mary as such an exception that we adore, venerate, that she is practically the fourth person of the Trinity. But also, there's a mistake then to ignore her. Because Mary is a very significant person, very significant in our faith, but also in the life of Jesus, as all mothers are. Mary was not an exceptional woman. And maybe I should say that Mary was not an exceptional teenager when she was visited by Gabriel. She wasn't, you know, most Bible scholars would say that she was 16, possibly 17. And if you're scandalized by that, you know, feel free to think of her as 18 or 19. But she was just a teenager. She had not accomplished great things. She was not of great learning. She was not of a wealthy family. And she wasn't going to marry a notable person. She wasn't engaged to a prince. There were no Harry or William in her life, nor Charlie. She was just a teenager. And it is out of God's grace that she was chosen to be the Blessed Mother of God. But then also, she has something that we don't often think about. And there are two things that I like most about Mary, one of which I spoke about in the first service, and time means that you only get the second part of the two things. But the thing that I like about Mary is that she was a revolutionist. She wasn't a rebel, but she was a woman who really says and really thinks that society needs to be transformed. And she understands that the visit by Gabriel is an announcement of revolution. And you've read the the passages have been read to you, and these are passages of revolution. These are passages that says that those in power, those in influence, and those in high positions need to fear because God will overturn it. And these are the words of Mary. You know, in my career, I have worked a lot with youth and young adults. I work across many generations. I have great affection for this current generation, not the Gen Z. And many people, I know, they roll their eyes when we talk about Gen Z. And just as, you know, as a Gen X, when I was young, people would roll their eyes and say, those Gen Xs. But the Gen Zs are amazing. They are great. My daughter is Gen Z, so I must admit to being biased. But there are people who are struggling for justice, who are seeking revolution, who says that this current obsession with material wealth, with unchecked progress, with environmental degradation cannot continue. That the oppression of people who are different racially, who are different in sexuality, who are different in education, who are different in economic status, that cannot continue. And that is the creed of the Gen Z. And guess what? This is Mary. Mary cries out for revolution. And in the song, she cries out, God shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. I don't know about you, but I hear this and the hair on my back rises. I think this is a woman who gets it. This is a woman living in a colonized world with the Romans as her oppressors, and she calls for revolution. That's why Mary is so good. She is great. She's just a teenager, and she sees clearly the injustices of this world, the inequality, and she calls it out. And not only does she call that out, she then gives herself to the cause. And I can tell you, you know, we often have this vision, right? I mean, she stands there and she exalts God And then you have the nativity scene and the shepherds and the wise, or the shepherds came, and then later on the wise men came, and then and all of that, and yet it was a costly obedience. It was a costly service, wasn't it? That when she said yes to Gabriel, her engagement was threatened. Joseph was going to put her aside. When she said yes to Gabriel, she had to flee for her life to Egypt. When she said yes to Gabriel, she saw her elders unjustly accused, tortured, and then murdered on the cross. It was a costly obedience. It wasn't easy. And Mary made a choice in her life. She could either say, when Gabriel visits, she could either say that, no, thank you, I want to just continue with my life. You know, get back to, I don't know, farming, housework. Or she could say yes to Gabriel. And she had to make a choice, who do I serve? That was a 12-minute warning. Gosh, I'm getting older. 12 minutes go by quickly, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to skip. And she had made a choice. Who would she serve? Would she serve herself, or would she serve the Lord? I was telling John Wilson and David Trott that I would like to choose the processional hymn for the 9 o'clock service. And I would like to sing Bob Dylan's Got to Serve Somebody. Oh, these waves of disapproval. I mean, they were very kind and gentle. But I thought discretion is the better part of valor. And I thought, we won't play it here today. Not suggested to the music team to play this. But I want to we should have done it. But I want to read to you Bob's words. And he says this: you may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's hair. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And that is a challenge for all of us. Who do we serve? Mary chose to serve the Lord. Mary chose to serve the Lord. In many ways, she would not have seen how her life turns out. She might have been inkling, this is a momentous decision. This is going to cause a lot of trouble. This is going to be really difficult. And imagine how her parents would have received that news. Imagine how she would have had to break the news to Joseph. And it wasn't easy. But then, we wonder, when Mary was going to say yes, we wonder, did she actually know what she was in for? Did she really understand, at 16 or 19, did she really understand the implications of her choice? The lyrics to a carol written by Mark Lowry in the early 90s goes like this, and you would be familiar, feel free to sing if you want to. But it went, Mary, did you know? Sounds familiar? That your baby boy is the Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. And as Mary listens and ponders on her decision, as her pregnancy advances, as she fled to Egypt, I wonder what goes on in her mind. How did it all go so wrong? And she might be thinking, what is happening, God? Why am I fleeing? And at the cross, she might say, what's happening, God? Why this anguish? Why this darkness? Why this pain? But I feel that throughout it all, Mary would have also said, Thank you for the privilege of serving. Thank you for the privilege of being a mother to this child, my eldest. Because you see, serving is a privilege. Obedience is a privilege. Obeying the Lord is a privilege. It is not an imposition. It is not a burden. It is not something that we should struggle with. In fact, talking about burdens, I want to read to you a poem by Mary Oliver. If you are in the market for a book of poetry, I recommend this. And Mary wrote a poem that is entitled "The Poet Thinks About the Donkey." And it goes this way. On the outskirts of Jerusalem, the donkey waited. Not especially brave or filled with understanding, he stood and waited. How horses turn out into the meadows leap with delight. How doves release from their cages, clatter away, splash with sunlight. But the donkey, tied to a tree as usual, waited. Then he let himself be led away. Then he let the stranger mount. Never had he seen such crowds. I wonder if he at all imagined what was to happen. Still, he was what he had always been, small, dark, obedient. I hope finally he felt brave. I hope finally he loved the man who rode so lightly upon him as he lifted one dusty hoof and stepped as he had forward. We are not prince and princess of this world. We are not the prancing horses in the fields. We are the donkeys. Right? We are the small, dark, and I hope we are obedient. That God places upon us the privilege and the joy, the honor of serving Him. And it might entail sacrifices. But there is a great joy to be had in serving God. I like what Gregor put up on screen just now. And I assure you that I had nothing to do with it, right? Wasn't me. He did it himself. But he says giving, and maybe instead of giving, we might say obedience. And he says obedience begins with a cause. And that was for Mary the cause. Obedience entails a sacrifice. And for Mary, she sacrificed. Obedience leads to life, not just for herself, but for the newborn babe. And then through that act of obedience, life for you and I, a hope for the world. And then Gregor says, obedience produces joy. There might be no reward in obedience. And for many who have given their lives for the cause of the gospel, there is no positive outcomes. But obedience produces joy. It does. And serving God produces joy. It is a privilege and an honor. I pray that as you take these words away with you, that as you listen to God calling you for your life, that you might also find joy in obedience. I want to end by saying that, supporting Gregor, is this, that if your daughter, your son, your child, your grandson, granddaughter will come up to you and says that I want to give my life for Christ, I want to enter into ministry, I want to be a missionary, give up the trappings of this world, If you don't say that, I've gone through, done my master's, my PhD, and now I'm going to put it aside and serve God in the soup kitchens, would you say yes? However reluctantly you might. Mary's parents being told Mary is pregnant. I wonder what they said. And maybe they did say yes. Maybe they said no. But then I want to ask you so that, you know, if you're willing to say yes to your child giving their lives to God, then the offering bag is around. Surely a few dollars wouldn't hurt as much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the privilege of serving you.